presents E3 coverage. Hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
All right,
once, face the other way so people can see us.
Once again, E3 2019, live over here at LA Convention Center, and we have a special guest here from one of my favorite podcasts out there, Spawn on Me. I'm going to be rocking the shirt this week. Be prepared.
Yes, sir.
Khalifa Adams, what's up, man?
Shout out to you on the tippy tie. How is everybody doing in GTR land? How you doing, Danny?
So, Khalif, man, what's been going on for the past few hours for you? Have you been checking out, or the past few days, because you've been here for a couple days now, right?
I have learned new ways to sweat. I've tried to figure out ways that my body has actually learned how to compensate with heat and humidity in ways that I did not know was real or possible. But running around, trying to get stuff for Spawn on Me crew and Chicago fans and everybody else in the hood.
I definitely want to talk to you about last night, man. I think it was a very cool moment, especially for people of color.
Yeah.
Cool event. Shout out to the folks at Ubisoft for handling this, right?
Oh, it was fantastic.
Esco and all them. You know?
Yeah.
So tell us, for the listeners that don't know, what happened last night at the event.
So one of the things that we don't really see happen at E3 is any kind of events for people of color in any real ways. Like, you'll see one at GDC where they do a really good job of breaking those out. You'll have women sessions for women, sessions for Latinos. We have sessions for black folks. But they don't really do anything at E3 for any of those groups.
Yeah.
And the folks from Ubisoft, our fans, our man, Esco, and some other cats from Ubisoft decided that they wanted to put something together for some of the black members of the community and especially of the industry to kind of get people together and network.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, really dope. It was nice to be able to kind of just let the guards down, not have to try to figure out, you know, how to code switch through some of the conversations that you usually have to do when you're on at a convention floor and at a show.
Yeah.
And chop it up and give each other a little bit of crap and hug it out and kind of be with each other in that space. And it was really nice. It was necessary and needed, and it was really good. And I hope that they continue to kind of put the efforts towards doing more of it, because it was
cool.
Fantastic.
So there was no hands-on. It was more just networking, mixer type thing, right?
Yeah, they told us right off the bat. They were like, this is not a thing where we're trying to show you stuff. We're not trying to pitch you on games. We're not trying to do any of that stuff. This is literally just time for you.
That's cool.
Just time to be with each other, be with family, go hang out. And really chop it up with folks. And it was nice to see folks from the whole spectrum of the conversation. You know, Paris was there, I was there, some of the folks who have been in the industry for a while now, and then there were the newbies who were coming through too, who were just like, yo, how do I talk to these people? Or who are the people I need to reach out to get this thing? And, you know, the conversations we've all had, these about how difficult it is to, when you're starting out, learn about the little intricacies of how to get the things you need, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of times people kind of hoard information and don't want to share it. And, you know, it's unnecessary when you get to a certain point. But it was nice to be able to get to those folks and, give them the knowledge, or at least imbue what you could to the stuff that you know, and kind of pass that knowledge on so that, you know, when we decide that we're not doing stuff, that they can carry on and do all the cool stuff.
Yeah, I think that's really cool, because somebody that goes to E3 for the first time, and I met a couple already for the past few days, that this is their first E3.
Yeah.
Super shy. They don't know what to do,
right,
where to go, who to talk to.
Sure.
So every time I meet someone like that, I'm always giving them advice go do this, come with us, we'll get you in. Like, you know, it's good sometimes to give back, not just hold everything. It's only for me and that's it, you know?
Totally. So, if you're not giving back in this industry, then you're not really doing your job.
Because we're all going to grow.
Yeah. But
see, I don't see you guys as a competition. I see you when Khalif does something, it's going to open the doors for not only for us, but for a lot of other people, man. You know, doesn't matter how big or small their show, site, podcast, it's going to grow too.
Yeah, I look at everybody as family at this point. It's the only competition I see is within our own space.
Yes.
And it's with your own self at this point. It's are you continuing to try to drive the message that you have and the ideas that you want to make? And then if you get into a door, you know, it's like, yo, we got into a door. I'm cracking that door open. I'm leaving it open. There is no key. Get in the house.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the way I look at it. It's like, if we're not doing that work, it doesn't really matter all the other things that come along with it. You know, we've all passed around information to each other to help each other grow. And you've all given us great advice. And we've figured out things that you may not have known. And we're like, yo, here's the thing that's happening. You should be a part of it, because you do dope stuff. And your angle and your the way that you do your show has always been one where we know you kill it whenever you go to it. So it's like, it just brings more things to the actual community and to the actual gaming industry and to the fans at home, which is what all this is for.
Yeah. So what do you think about E3, man, the past few hours? It feels kind of weird where we are right now, because we're at the location where we always see PlayStation next to Nintendo, or Xbox was also around this location. Then they moved to the other hall. This is what, South?
This is
West Hall. West Hall. So
actually,
the,
no, this is North Hall, because West is the center part, right?
I think this is still West.
It's a different... It's West Hall.
It's West Hall, because they don't really split it up in that way, I don't think, anymore. They usually just do South and West, but yeah, West
Hall. Do you feel like it's weird not seeing PlayStation or not even having their press conference during E3?
One of the things that I was talking to some of the Microsoft reps when we had a chance to talk to those folks was, like, there's usually that conversation about there being this, like, heightened version of competition when they're both here. Mm-hmm. And since they weren't, it was nice to see that that wasn't a thing. It didn't feel like that, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
Like that air of like, all right, so now when you cover this Microsoft thing, are you waiting to see what the Sony folks are going to do to counter it? And it's nice to be able to have people kind of just rock in their own bubbles and do their thing and then kind of judge it on the own merit of their own thing as opposed to trying to compare it to something else. Sony's presence is missed because, you know, we have expectations for what they're going to show. And now it's less about them not being here at E3. It's more about, for us as content creators and us as making podcasts and making stuff, what else do we have to do to jump through whatever hurdle we need to get through to get to whatever the next thing that they're going to do? Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that I'm actually thinking about more of, like, they're going to show stuff. Where are they going to show that thing? How are they going to show that stuff? Do we have access to that stuff?
I'll tell you one positive thing that I just noticed right now, because we're in the booth here in the West Hall. We're next to Sega and IndieCade. This is a good that, in a way, that those companies that moved around and probably left, they're not here, especially PlayStation, because IndieCade usually was always in the back.
And they had a pretty big spot usually.
Big spot. They're in the front. So as soon as you come in, you're going to see all those indie games right there on the spot.
Oh, yeah.
So there's some good. Let other independent developers get the shine too, you know. But I mean,
look at it this way: like, we're broadcasting from within a booth on the E3 floor.
First time since the creation of podcasting, they've never done this E3.
Right, and we all get to usher that in, right? And yeah. I think in part that's because Sony's not here. You know what I mean? Like, because they dropped a whole big.
Thank you, Sony.
Thank you, Sony.
PlayStation. Thank you.
PlayStation.
No, you're right. You know, I wasn't even thinking about that.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that's a part of it, right? It's like, because that shrinking of the show in that way, it offers up more space to do other things. And, like, thank you for, you know, ESA for giving us a spot to be able to kind of do that work that we always wanted to do. And it's also, like, super dope that we get to rep our brands in front of people in this specific way.
Random folks that may never have had the opportunity to see, oh, what are they doing?
Right.
Oh, what's Spawn on Me? What's Gamertag Radio?
Right.
You know, things like that. I think that's a fantastic opportunity. I also think it's great that, in general, we're seeing companies just embrace the content creator more.
Yeah.
We're seeing the streaming stations, like over in the Ubisoft areas upstairs in the meeting rooms. You know, obviously Facebook Gaming is out here doing their thing. And then just seeing, you know, just seeing more people with cameras and doing the live stream. We always see the people walking out with the selfie stick doing the little thing, walking through. But to see them in a static area getting... shine
right.
on their own. I think that's fantastic. I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good step forward for the industry.
Yeah, and I feel like it's a good step for E3 too. Like, I feel like that's a way that, you know, we're not at this moment in time when we're recording, the public hasn't gotten in yet.
Right.
So we still have like maybe like 30 minutes before we see nine minutes before it gets real hectic in here, right? And that's going to be fun for people who have not really seen how this works, right? So being able to kind of either go through the indie space and kind of check out what's going on there, and then kind of filter your way out through South Hall and see all the kind of bigger stages and all those things. Like, everyone keeps talking about how the show is dying. I feel like it's just morphing, right?
Right.
It's trying to stay alive. It's trying to keep up, right? And when you do that, you have to be nimble and you have to try to figure out better ways to serve the public in good ways. I do think that it would be cool to have some version of Sony here in some form or fashion. It would have been cool. I don't think that they should have abandoned the whole show. But it gave and it opened the door for other people to shine, and that's good. Like, that's a great secondary function of what happened.
Yeah, because like you guys were saying, Indiecade is usually in the South Hall on the far back end.
Yeah.
You know, furthest away from, you know, where everything else is going on. So it is awkward to see it up front and in center.
Yeah.
I mean, just like us. I mean, we're literally right next to them and right next to the Nintendo booth, which is massive. If you haven't had a chance,
over, like, it's the whole spot.
It's like 40% of this hall. And it's
big.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
Speaking about Nintendo, Khalif, you watched the Nintendo Direct?
I watched it through the eyes of the Kind of Funny folks morning.
Okay.
So I saw small bits and pieces. Guigi is a thing now that I didn't know was a thing.
Wait, Luigi mentioned? You never...
No, I knew of it. Oh, okay. I didn't know of Guigi.
Oh, Guigi.
I was like, yo, Guigi is a thing. Yeah, I was like, oh, okay.
Was there anything that you were like, wow, I didn't even know this was possible or this was going to be announced?
I mean, I'll be completely honest. I don't really keep up with Nintendo stuff like I used to. I've just not felt like they've given me a lot of stuff for me yet.
Okay, for example, The Witcher.
I don't care about that.
You don't care about The Witcher?
Not on Switch. I've played that game.
But I'm saying, as for people that have never played The Witcher and they have Nintendo Switch, and even the technology of CD Projekt Red working on a game like that, that game is huge.
Tell me Cyberpunk is on Switch, then I'll care.
You know, now I'm a believer. Like, I think that's even possible now.
But that's the thing that I, you know, like, people are excited for the Witcher thing to come over to Switch. Yes, because it puts on a new platform and people are able to play it and enjoy it. And yes, it does open up the door for possibilities of them having that stuff on, having Cyberpunk maybe on the Switch. But like, at this point, ports are ports. You know, like, you're only going to get but so much. You're always going to get but so much into that. Like, if someone's like, I want to play Witcher, I'm not going to send them to the Switch version of that game.
No, but remember, not everybody has a PC or a PlayStation 4 or an Xbox. Sure. If they only have a Switch, this is the opportunity. Like, look, me, I personally think The Witcher 3 is my favorite so far.
Yeah.
My favorite game of this generation.
Yeah.
And seeing it on the Switch, I think I will go back. Even Paris will go back. And I don't know about you, Pete. Will you do that? No?
Yeah. I would. That's interesting enough that you bring that up.
Yeah.
That's one of those things where I would look and peek into. We have all these new services, cloud-based stuff that's coming into the market.
Yeah.
I would much rather at this point someone to one of those for that experience than just putting it through the port version on the Switch.
If they don't have it though. They don't have those devices for that. Then what?
Sure, but if you bought that thing on Stadia, or wherever it's going to be, if it's going to be connected to something like that, mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind doing it that way. Because then I'm semi future proofing some of the stuff that I'm doing, and I'm able to put it on other platforms that I would be able to use in different ways.
I know you interview Aaron Greenberg.
Yes,
I also interview him.
Yes.
So high five on that.
High five.
Yeah.
So content creators.
I straight up told him. I go, I had a crazy theory.
Yeah.
I told him about the Nintendo Switch, Nintendo partnership, and everything. Yeah. And this was yesterday. Oh God, no, I didn't leave you out. So I said that to him. That I like that their partnership is growing even more with Nintendo, and he's, you know, a PR answer, you know. But then the next day, Banjo-Kazooie, which I know you were totally against, Smash. But I know you're, whatever, you're not a fan, I get it. But,
man.
But,
as a fan
a fan of that game,
sure.
I think it's cool to see the relationship from Microsoft and Nintendo growing even more. Like, I could see so many cool things in the future. Imagine Master Chief on a Switch, or, you know, like, that's possible now.
Well, I mean, the Dennis Dyack, that's an old school reference. Yes. The old Dennis Dyack one console to rule them all system thing is happening in other ways, but it's not happening in hardware format. It's happening in software format, right? Which is dope, right? We want to see everything kind of touch and see those IPs kind of get around each other, because God knows Terminator is in everything right now. I'm surprised Terminator wasn't in Smash today.
I actually tweeted that this morning before the Nintendo Direct.
Yeah, no joke.
I was like, I'm just waiting for it to happen.
Yeah, at this point. But I think that in the grand scheme, it's good for gamers, it's good for players, where they get to kind of see those things that they care about touch. I don't know if it moves the needle for whatever those old IPs were. Like, it's not like I don't like Banjo-Kazooie. It's not like I'm not excited for people to be able to get to play that thing. I'm just always constantly thinking about the ideas behind why people are excited about a thing. Are they actually really interacting with that thing in the way that they say they would? And, you know, there is this conversation that always happens about people being excited for the idea of a thing, but when the actual thing manifests itself, not really supporting it in the ways that we think that they should or that they say they would. So, you know, it's a put your money where your mouth is kind of deal when people are like, yo, Banjo's going to be dope and it's going to come out and it's going to be hot. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool.
But it's just going to be in Smash Brothers. It's not like you're having a full-on game. It's just his appearance in Smash.
Yeah. I mean, and that, if that satiates people's, like, need for a Banjo thing, then that's dope. Like, they get their Banjo in another game and then that's better. I would much rather be that than them pull out a full game and it not do well.
Right.
Because then people lose jobs over that, right? Like, you're not just assets that get moved around. Like, people have to, like, figure out new places to work.
Right.
So...
So you mentioned Stadia earlier, and I want to go back to that because I haven't gotten your opinion on that. I would like to know what's your stance on it, because my fear is you've got all these titles coming out. For example, Destiny's coming out.
Yep.
You know, you're gonna have, and that's a PvP heavy experience.
Yeah.
But if not many people are on Stadia, who are you gonna play with?
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. I mean, those are all super valid concerns. Like, the biggest things are bandwidth, cost, ownership. Do you leave infrastructure? Do you leave out a whole swath of people? Like, is this going to be a system for the coasts?
Right.
Right. You know what I mean? It's like, are the people in the middle of the country going to be able to even rock with any of this stuff?
Well, see, I don't think that's going to be an issue because we've seen more than enough infrastructure in place to support Google.
Sure.
Right. Yes, we did have an East Coast outage
sure.
last week, and there were some services that were affected by that.
Sure.
But I think in an effort like that, that would just flip over. You'd flip over to Central, like
sure.
something in Austin or in Chicago, as opposed to going across the country and,
sure.
And adding for latency. But do you think that... I think they've got enough of a catalog to entice people to come over, but do you think it's enough in general, the whole offering, for people to come over wholesale to support... Like, if I want to try to get the raid done, I got to find 4 or 5 other people on Stadia to play with?
I would assume that they have to try to figure out some ways to have connectivity between the other platforms. I don't know how that works yet, and they haven't really outlined that in a good way yet.
Like, are they going to integrate with Battle.net? Or they can't. Actually,
no,
they can't even use those. So
yeah,
whose servers are they going to use? Theirs?
Yeah.
And that's the bigger question maybe for Bungie. Are they going to support their own server infrastructure to do that?
I think they're going to have to try to find ways to integrate some of that stuff in the back end, because if you don't, then what's the uses of getting those, you know, connective tissues together? Like, you're saying, hey, we're going to have this thing on your service, but all the people who you wanted to play with are not going to be able to talk to you. That doesn't make sense, right? I'm sure they are either thinking about that or at least kind of moving towards it. I in the grand scheme, I think Stadia will be the business trip gamer service of choice, right? It's like, hey, I really want a game. I don't have a console. I don't have a games console, the actual like backpack that you carry that has like the game and the screen. Like, what are going to be the ways that I'm going to be able to actually like get that stuff together? This is going to be for them. Playing a browser, playing your lunch break. Like, that's the kind of stuff that I'm excited for when it comes to Stadia and cloud stuff.
Well, Khalif, mention your website and social media if anybody would like to follow you, man.
Don't follow us. We suck. thank you again, both of y'all, for, you know, all the love and having me on. Check us out at spawnofme.com. We're on all podcast services. We're also on Portland Radio, xray.fm. You can check us out there on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 1 p.m. in the afternoon. And yeah, we're here E3, hanging out, chilling with Danny and Pete,
yeah.
Rest of the crew, trying to get it done. We got some fun content coming, and hopefully you'll be able to hear it.
Cool. Thanks, Kyle.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.